Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, episode 108 of Tatooine Sons. The coronavirus has shut Earth down. Much of the cause is justified, but there is a great deal of fear that has resulted in panicky behavior. Does anybody really need 300 rolls of toilet paper? Fear is a central idea within the galaxy far, far away. This week, we look at the way fear has been used to manipulate the Star Wars universe and how hope is the cure. Plus, hot takes, poor results, and more.
Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel Lahat.
And shoot us, Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then chances are you've probably dealt with fear. Anyways.
Yeah, everybody's dealt with fear. Everybody's dealing with it right now. Not everybody.
I'm not fearful.
Yeah, either. Lots of people.
There's some kind of panic going on right now.
It is panicky.
It is.
Should I Well, nah, we'll get. You don't want me to explain the pan thing?
Save that. That might be a little much for me.
A little much? Now. All right, go for it.
We don't want to scare people.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
What's up, guys? Coronavirus 2020, baby. Coronapocalypse. So
I'm just waiting for t-shirts of this. Like, I survived coronavirus and all I got was a roll of toilet paper or something like that.
Oh my god. What do you guys think about this whole coronavirus?
I think it's just one
overreaction.
Yeah, just one massive overreaction.
Well, I mean, I do think that there's a sickness, and I do think it's extremely dangerous to older people,
or
people with compromised immune systems, and that kind of thing. I understand not wanting to overload the medical services and things like that, but when you're having runs on toilet paper, then there becomes a point where it's moved beyond rational
thought,
you know, thought and concern into pandemonium, into panic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like.
It's a little much.
I think. Yeah. More stuff's coming.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse before it gets better. Do you think that they're going to end up, everything is shut down.
I know.
Everything is shut down right now.
Sadly. Stupid.
Do you think that Star Wars Celebration
is better not. Risk? That's the only thing I'm holding on to right now.
Yeah, same. I don't think so.
I mean, that's a few months away, though. I'd hope this would die off by now, by then.
I've seen some of those things that have been canceled that were in the last week or two and going forward are actually being rescheduled for August. So I'm hoping that that's a sign that the people involved know and have a pretty firm handle on the fact that it's going to be over.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hope, because this is just getting old.
Yeah. So how you doing, BB Nate?
Fine.
Fine. All right. You guys a little bit bummed? Because I mean, it's possible that your trip to your spring break trip, your annual trip, is going to be canceled because of the flight. So we had some people that I know involved in this travel industry message me today and say, get home and stay home as far as flights and stuff. Don't be out of town because they're going to be starting to cancel all flights. What do you think? Do you guys bummed about it?
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, so there's no sense really being all that super upset about it. I mean, I am upset, and I love going, and I want to go, but if it doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out.
This is the same thing that's been running through my mind. It's just, can't do anything about it now, so.
You want to know what like, kind of sucks for you, BB Nate, is the fact that as a homeschooler, this has absolutely no effect on your schooling situation at all. You don't get any time off, you don't get any of that. Sam, tell the listeners and everybody what has happened with your schooling.
Yeah, so it's wonderful. What was nice is they started spring break early, so it's actually 2 weeks. It starts this Monday.
Tomorrow for us.
Yeah, so, tomorrow. But, so that's nice. I get a little bit of a spring break. I'm still going to have to do work over it, but I don't have to go to class. But I'm not going to have to go to class for the rest of the semester, because they're trying to transfer everything to online classes, which sucks because I hate online classes, especially online math, and I'm already kind of having a tough time with Calc 2, and then in the middle of the semester, throwing it into online is just not going to be great. So we'll see. I hope this all works out, but
I think that in the end, this teaches us about how to handle adversity, how to learn how to overcome challenges and things like that. So it'll be, my job isn't affected, our income isn't affected, that kind of thing. Lots of people have lost their jobs or are not able to work at all.
We're blessed with that,
so
for sure.
We're definitely in a better situation. So yesterday, we spent some time watching some Clone Wars, which was awesome.
Yeah,
but then we also watched the despecialized Star Wars, the original version, despecialized. And I don't know if I really got any feedback from you guys. So I'm going to start with you guys first. I'm going to start with you, BB Nate, with your Star Wars original shirt here. I mean, it looks like it's straight out of the comics, doesn't it? Anyway, what was your thoughts on the despecialized edition there?
It was pretty good. I mean, it was different, definitely. It was just strange to see that, but
what was the biggest differences that you noticed?
Just how some of the scenes that were insignificant, maybe just a few shots, were different from the original movie. It was pretty strange to see it. I'm just wondering how they knew it was that. Change it.
But yeah, if you watch the documentary that they actually have on YouTube of the making of the despecialized edition, it's really interesting how many, hundreds and maybe even, I think, over 1,000 people for all over the world were involved in picking different scenes and saying, okay, yeah, this has to happen here, and this is what the original
was.
That's impressive. And finding clips and all that kind of stuff. What was your thoughts on the despecialized edition, Sam?
For me, it didn't feel like it changed a whole lot. The story was still the same, still had the same feel. I mean, it was cool to see some of the differences, Han shooting first and things like that, and then him running in the hallway and there being four stormtroopers instead of an entire legion.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, it felt about the same. I still, still a great movie.
Yeah.
It was cool to see the original.
Definitely. Fun. I think watching it focused in, for me at least, focused in trying to notice the differences, because I've seen the special edition so many times now.
Right.
Because that's what we've had on DVD.
That's all we've seen.
And that's all that you guys have ever... Exactly. I was focused in on it and really, really, intent on seeing things. And one big thing that is so blatantly obvious in it that meant more to us, I think, this time around was the complete understanding that Tarkin had to have known that Vader was Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not a special edition, despecialized.
No.
That's
just... But because we were watching the despecialized and focused in, I was focused in on it, I noticed that more.
Yeah, and the fact that we had just recently watched the Clone Wars episodes with Tarkin and Anakin, so...
Right, and so that connection there, we watched the Citadel episodes because we wanted to see Echo and the story there from the Clone Wars, and we wanted to see the Ahsoka trials, and so Wilhelm Tarkin is big in those as well. And there's just definitely this understanding of them with it. You guys good?
Yeah, Buster's sitting outside our door.
Oh, Buster wants to come and say hi.
We can
in the middle of the day, I noticed on our Twitter feed that Dan Z... Mr. Dan Zare from Coffee with Kenobi tweeted out that since, you know, he's a professor, and so he's being a teacher, he's not going to have a whole lot of schoolwork to he's not going to be going to school. They're doing the same thing where he's at. I think he's in Ohio or something, or Illinois or something like that. Anyway, he's going to be home a lot, and he's like, I think that there should be more podcasting in the next few weeks. So I just, on a flyer, tweeted to him and said, hey, we'd love to have a certain you guest on a certain show. And he replied back and said that he's in. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll do a little I don't know if it's going to be a special episode. I don't know if it's going to be to replace one of our main episodes. Mm-hmm. But we'll have a recording with him. It really is just going to depend on whether or not you guys go on your spring break trip. If you guys go on spring break, I'm going to let you do your spring break. I'll do that, the interview with Dan for our main episode. And if not, then it'll probably
be a little scary if we do go on the spring break, because it's kind of a flip of a coin if they close it while we're down there or not.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're bringing our school stuff. We're going to not do
just
that.
Just hang
stuff
out at the beach
week.
With Meemaw and Pawpaw for a few more weeks.
Hey, I don't mind that.
Well, especially since you don't have to go to college. You can go online.
I mean, it's not like we have to pay for a hotel or find a new place to stay, and we're also with family as well, so it's not like it's not the worst place to be stuck at. So.
No, being stuck at the beach is not the worst place. It's
horrible.
We'll get snowstorms here, and you guys will be in the swimming pool.
Getting tan.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is where we move on to the podcast poll results from last week.
But
there's going to be a little bit more of an explanation, and it is not based on the fact that I didn't post the poll.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week had everything to do with our last episode, of course, which it always does, which was about all the five revelations from the Rise of Skywalker
novelization. But we did not, sadly, and sorry, we did not put a spoiler alert before this.
This episode?
That episode.
No, but it's pretty obvious when you say five revelations, that's the title of the episode, that there's going to be that, like,
revelations.
Yeah, go book. Could be a little bit, we can't. But having said that, I put that poll out and I put three of them on the poll. And within like 90 seconds of posting it, like three people commented about how spoilery it was and they didn't know, like two of them. And
God bless you.
And all that. So I realized that while I thought that this had been so commonly discussed on social media that everybody knew those things.
Well, I only knew like one or two.
Okay. Well, I pulled the poll back. And so there is no podcast poll results. So we've got to figure out what to do in the segment. So why don't we just go ahead and we can sing all of the verses of the 12 Days of Christmas. Everybody.
Yeah.
No.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm not sure they want to hear
about this.
Yeah. Maybe not. Okay,
if
so.
If y'all did that, I still wouldn't.
Instead.
You'd be the bass.
Because it's all about the bass.
It is.
No trouble. All right. Yeah. Instead, let's talk about the T. Ross bonus features. Now, Disney and Star Wars and Lucasfilm released the digital version a few days early for purchase when all of the quarantine stuff started happening with coronavirus. And people all weekend have been watching the special features. They've been watching the actual thing. And there's, you know, this is all information that's not spoilery. So we can talk about it. I want to get your feedback on that because we did purchase.
We did
the digital download with all of this in 4K Ultra HD.
Nice. Oh.
And I'm hoping I can talk a certain person to letting us watch that, so, like tonight. Here's the different things that are in it. There's seven different bonus features on it. The first one is the Skywalker Legacy. It's a feature-length documentary, two-hour documentary on the making of the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay,
what do you guys think about that?
Name. I don't think I could do that.
Why?
It's all movie making, but it's a documentary. I'm not a huge fan of documentaries.
Yeah, but it's about movies.
I know. I probably would enjoy that one, but I just can't handle any other documentaries, especially ones that
are
like...
you can handle this one.
I think
probably.
So.
I probably could, but...
You probably should.
Next one is called Maestro's Finale. It is all about John Williams. Sad. And his contribution to Star Wars. What do you think about that one, Samuel? Huh? That's like a big deal. Music is huge for you.
That's going to be huge. Because, I mean, we've often said this, but Star Wars would not be what it is without the music nowadays. I mean, every film that John's done a soundtrack for, or not necessarily every film, but most films that he's done a soundtrack
including for. Including Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have really recognizable music that's, you know, timeless and classic and things like that. So,
yeah,
it's sad to see him go, but, you know, Star Wars is...
He's not dead, though.
No. Okay. He's not going to do Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
No.
So. That's right. Next one's Persona Pursuit, the creating the speeder chase.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be... And most of these are like 5 or 6 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah.
Except for the feature length one, yeah. Cast of characters, so it's going to talk about some of the different characters in it, of course. D.O., Key to the Past, and it talks about how important Ochi's ship is and D.O. as a character, and it really dives into connecting Rey to her past through that. So what do you think about that? I think that one's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, that'll be really, really fun, of course, because I like droids, but...
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they didn't really go into that a whole lot, so I think it'll be interesting to...
I'm hoping that they go into it in the novelization more.
Yeah, that's true.
Aliens in the Desert.
So that it's going to talk scene? About very cool.
Some of that. And then Warwick and Son. Warwick Davis, you realize that the other Ewok in that scene, BB Nate, your favorite...
Is Warwick.
Is Warwick's son.
Mm-hmm. And Wicket's son.
And Wicket's son. And in the book, they go into much greater detail.
Really?
About... like what the Ewoks have been gone through since Return of the Jedi.
They better confirm the Ewok Jedi.
That'd be cool. We saw that one. That's a legend.
Or if the Ewok Jedi might be in the High Republic.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, why don't we move on to the next scene? Or the next scene. The next, whatever this is. Segment.
There's the word.
Yeah. We got movies on the mind.
Yeah, I got movies on the mind. The very first EU novel has returned to Star Wars canon.
Wow.
Are more on the way with that. We finally learn if Padme is still alive in the latest issue of the Darth Vader comic series. And the first arc of the final season of the Clone Wars is finished. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right. Did Star Wars recanonize the very first expanded universe novel?
Did you read this one?
To read the novel?
Yes.
I know, but I've like almost bought it 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5?
Why haven't you not?
Is it Heir?
Because it looks lame.
Is it Heir to the Jedi?
Huh?
Is it Heir to the Empire?
No.
Oh, that's wrong.
This is from ScreenRant.com. A Star Wars tie-in comic may have just made aspects of the first Star Wars novel canon again.
Okay.
And again, I'm reading straight from the article here. I'll link to it. Technically, the old Star Wars expanded universe began all the way back in 1978 when Del Rey published Alan Dean Foster's novel Splinter of the Mind's Eye. The book was intended as a low-budget sequel in the event the Lucasfilm didn't perform well at the box office, and Foster chose to set the story on the misty jungle world of Mimban. Disney rendered the old expanded universe non-canon shortly after they purchased Lucasfilm, but they generally assume all the locations are the same. Mimban was canonized in Solo a Star Wars Story, with Han deserting from the Empire during a military campaign there.
Mm-hmm.
This week's Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren takes another step towards making aspects of this story canon. Smilers, mini spoiler.
No, we still have to do the comics.
The issue is set shortly after the destruction of the Jedi Temple, and it charts Ben Solo's first mission with the Knights of Ren. He accompanies them to the Mine Moon of Mimban.
All right.
Interestingly, where his dad had been previously. If you think about that.
That's true.
Where they make their way into an ancient temple. There, Ben uses the Force to read the mind of a native and discovers the location of an ancient artifact called the Mind Splinter. Samuel the Hutt. Now that the mad rush to put out Star Wars feature films is over for a while, can we expect to see more Legends content make it into the new canon? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think why not? I mean, they've kind of been doing it like the whole time,
bits and pieces here and there.
I mean, like the whole, well, that's a little spoilery, but little spoiler for the novel. It's kind of like what they did with the Emperor, with Dark Empire. Yeah. So it's kind of like that. So they've been doing it for a while. I've heard of this book. I've never read it. I have, like,
the problem was they didn't bring in, again, this was like originally the
sequel,
a script for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they didn't know if Harrison Ford was coming back for it.
Right.
And so there's no Han Solo in it. It's all got to do with sort of this weird love story between Leia and Luke and all that. And from what most people have said, it's just not that great, from what I understand. Right. So, but the idea, BB Nate, of canon or Legends content moving into canon, we've seen it happen.
With Thrawn, especially. He's
big time with Thrawn.
That's probably with the biggest so far.
Absolutely. But then, you know, it's sort of also felt like that's all happened in animation, and it's happened in books, and it's happened in comics, but not so much in the films.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that in the future we could see some of this Legends content become canon in films?
Yes, I think in the future, but definitely not soon. Definitely not in the next three movies or four or five. I don't think
so. No Revan?
Well, that can be introduced on the High Republic, and that's why. Well, judging by its time frame, it would work. But
No, because like Revan is like 3,000 years before. I didn't know this. Yeah.
Old Republic's like old.
Old
Republic. 1,000 generations Republic. Before.
Living Union.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, maybe, but I just don't think that it's going to be anytime soon. I think they want to, well, until we learn what the next three movies are, I'm keeping with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to try and stick with, for a little while, original characters and things like that. Or, like, either they're going to come up with new characters or they're going to expand on characters already in canon.
If there was going to be one thing that you're familiar enough about from Legends that could move into the EU or into canon, what would it be?
Starkiller.
Whoa!
Oh, that's definitely
like the only Legends thing that we've really gotten into.
Oh, that's love awesome.
Those games.
I don't think they can call him Starkiller though, can they?
Technically, they could.
Why not?
Because of Starkiller Base, it would just be weird.
Yeah,
but they can call him Galen Merrick.
Yes,
Galen Merrick or whatever.
It's Galen Merrick.
Galen Merrick.
They can do that.
That'd be the one thing that I
don't think they can follow the story exactly, because it was like he was Vader's apprentice or something at one point.
Then he was a clone in the second one.
Just ignore the second one. Just do.
Actually, people do enjoy the second one. I learned that today. But anyway, they also made a book off of Force Unleashed that actually went deeper into the story. So I think that we should.
That was just a really good game.
It was good. It's good.
And it was. Oh my goodness! Why am I forgetting his
name? Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
So do you think Sam Witwer would come back if he did that?
I think he would play the character because they powered him.
I mean, it is his likeness.
Yes.
It's not just his voice.
It would be a lot of fun.
But they couldn't do the DLC that's technically canon for Force Unleashed, where he kills Luke and Luke goes to the dark side if you choose a different path.
Well, but there's multiple. The thing with that game is there's multiple paths you can take, so you have to be careful.
Yeah, I'm sure they would go with that different one.
Did Padme Amidala really survive the events of Revenge of the Sith?
We finally learned.
Inverse.com. We used them last week a couple of times, too.
We use them all the time.
Straight. Yeah, they you know, when you're doing speculative stuff, they're pretty solid for it. So, it's revealed midway through the issue of Darth Vader's new comic. I think it's issue 2. Is that where we're at?
Yes, issue 2.
By Greg Bach and Raphael Yenko.
Totally not surprised.
The woman who was convincing enough to leave Darth Vader confused about whether or not his wife was dead turns out to be Sabe. We called it one of Padme's handmaidens from when she was Queen of Naboo, employed by her physical similarity to the monarch. By the way, just as an aside, did you hear Keira Knightley? She was coming out talking about playing that character in Phantom Menace. You know who Keira Knightley is, right?
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
She played Sabe in Phantom Menace, which you can see the difference, but you have to be looking for it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know it's there, it's obvious.
That
kind of thing. Did you hear her talking at all about it this week? She was talking about it. So I thought that was interesting. So, anyway, curiously, the reveal comes just months ahead of the release of Star Wars Queen's Peril, a novel focusing on Padme's earlier days as Queen of Naboo. Perhaps there's a Padme Renaissance underway when it comes to Star Wars publishing plans. B. BB-8.
Bring back the character.
What do you think of Sabe's resurgence in the new canon? She's a major character in Queen's Shadow. She's going to be in Queen's Peril, apparently. They're bringing her into the comics. What do you think about Sabe being a part of this?
It's pretty interesting how, A, she's still alive, and B, that it's pretty strange how Darth Vader and her met up still.
And she's convincing enough that Darth Vader thinks it's Padme.
It's weird. It's strange. It's very strange. But it's... I mean, a lot they could do with that, especially in the series. I'm wondering what Darth Vader is going to do with it.
That's cool.
Because
that's fair, yeah.
He could do anything. The killer, I mean, that's the first thing he could do.
Do you, Sam, do you think that this is another way that the story group is working with some authors, both in the books and in the comics, to try to deal with this major plot concern that's existed for 20 years now, where Padme dies giving birth to Leia, and Leia is in Return of the Jedi 25 years later talking about remembering her mother. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I mean, they've already alluded to the possibility that Sabe is who she's actually seeing. She's seeing pictures, she's seeing, remembering things about Sabe and all that. Do you think that that could be the case?
In the book that they confirmed that it was
Which Sabe. Book?
Isn't it Queen's Shadow, maybe?
They confirmed that she goes to Alderaan after the fall of the Republic and after the death of Padme. And she spends time with Bail and Brea Organa on there for a while. Like, she spends time like working with Bail, which could be what a lot of people are speculating.
That's what I
thought. When she she's remembering her mother that way. What do you think about that idea? Do you think that they're bringing her back in? They're going to do a lot more with Sabe in the future?
I mean, they could. I'm just trying to understand why.
So Sabe basically ends up working for Bail Organa, from what I understand.
Okay.
And in the early days of the what becomes the Rebellion. With it, helping put it together and that kind of thing. Here's what I think would be really an interesting thing. What if they brought Keira Knightley in for a film, a Sabe film, going forward? What would you guys think about something like that?
I think it'd have to... I don't think it'd be big enough for, like a movie theater release, but I think for, like, a Disney Plus film...
Definitely. Or a series, maybe. Miniseries.
Well, I think it'd be better for a film, but for a Disney Plus film, totally... Perfect.
Yeah,
that's the cool thing about having Disney Plus and all this now, is that there's opportunities to do stuff like this that they wouldn't normally be able to do. Mm-hmm.
They should have a Porg series.
I think a Turbis the Porg series should definitely happen. I think so.
I think it should be a sitcom with him and
his girlfriend,
his wife. And they have like a family of Porgs, and there's no dialogue. It's just Porg screeches.
It's like the holiday special with the Wookiees.
Yes.
That whole 10-minute scene where you can't understand what they're saying.
I got a bad feeling about this. Yeah.
Just no weird virtual reality thing.
Impressive.
That grandpa did.
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
That might be a little much.
That would be a little weird. Okay, last thing. Say goodbye to Admiral Trench.
Yay.
Finally.
After 7 seasons of him,
annoying. So we had Unfinished Business, the final of the 4-episode arc of the Bad Batch season 7. So a little bit of spoilers. We'll talk a little bit about spoilers. If you haven't watched it by now, sorry.
Well, British people still haven't gotten.
They haven't got Disney Plus yet.
They get it the 24th.
Dang, that sucks for them. God, I feel bad for all of our non-American fans, listeners. Anyway, the Republic plans a daring final strike against Wat Tambor and Admiral Trench, once again bringing together Rex, Echo, Anakin Skywalker, and the elite Bad Batch squad. Samuel Hutt, favorite moments from this episode, Unfinished Business.
I think we all kind of tell it was going to go there, but I did like how Echo became a part of the Bad Batch, because it really fits his character.
Now that he's...
Right, he's different. He's got different abilities, so it really works. That was probably my favorite moment of the episode. And that, and Crosshair is doing like a crazy trick shot down the hallway.
Oh, that was fun, yeah. They were like bouncing the bolts off of the walls and stuff. BB-8, favorite moments from Unfinished Business?
Yeah, definitely the end. Not like it finished, but... When,
God, I'm glad that's done.
Yeah,
the ending of the storyline.
Yeah, it was cool when Rex gave him a choice. I mean, you can either go to the Bad Batch, where I feel like you would belong, and he goes over there and he turns around and they all salute, and I thought that was a very bittersweet ending to the arc, but it was good, especially after watching the Citadel. It's a little bit sadder, but
yeah. Going forward now. Mm. Oh yeah, you have more from the Bad Batch?
Well, I just have like a question.
Yeah.
How are they going to explain how this Bad Batch, this specialized group of different individuals, is Task Force 99, and then they have a Stormtrooper Task Force 99 in the Empire, which there's different members. There's still a Heavy, there's still a Sniper, I think, and there's still a Hunter, actually, now that I think about it. But, like, there's still more members. But well, how are they going to explain how they have the exact same name and, like, the same...
Well, I think, I don't know if they're... I guess, are they both called Task Force 99?
They're both Task Force 99.
Just a continuation of Task Force 99.
So just another specialist.
From the Republic into the Empire. Whether or not it's the same characters, it would be...
I think Heavy could be the same. And Hunter and Crosshairs. I don't know if there was tech. I'll have to look into it again.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So where do you think it's going to go now? You know, we're shifting now, going into the next arc, which is the Ahsoka Tano arc. We spent yesterday watching the last four episodes of season 5. Mm-hmm. So
sad episodes.
Yeah, those sad episodes. What do you think? I mean, are we going to? Is she's back in the underground? In these, what are your expectations or anticipations going into this next arc?
I'm kind of just hoping to see. I think everyone is, and we've seen a little bit of it in previous. Episodes and things, but I want to see more of the underworld. I want to see what the average everyday life of a person in Star Wars is.
I think we're going to find that out a lot in this one, because she's literally going to the underworld.
And she was a little bit in some of those latter episodes.
Yeah.
Level 13, 12, 13, 15.
We'll see Asajj again.
See who?
Asajj.
Asajj Ventress.
Ooh.
That would be interesting.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be a twist. No,
I had forgotten a lot of that stuff going into this.
Like any of it?
Really?
I remember it was Barriss, but that's about all I remember.
Yeah,
I didn't remember Asajj was a thing.
I forgot all about Asajj being a part
Me
of it.
Me too.
And again, we know Asajj Ventress was a major arc in season 7. Well, what is now season 7? The Dark Disciple book was an arc that they expanded on.
It was huge. Yeah.
But they expanded. Katie Lucas, George Lucas's daughter, wrote the arc.
That was a very good book.
And then ended up writing, helping with the book and that kind of thing. But
it's nuts.
Yeah, it's potential that we could be seeing a little bit
strange.
Of that.
But, I mean, it was a fun episode.
It was a fun episode. That was cool. All right, let's move on. All right, so as we record this episode, Fear is an emotion that seems to be gripping the planet.
I got a bad feeling about this.
A virus that should be respected and precautions taken because of have snowballed into panic and absurdity. And this has us thinking about fear in the Star Wars universe. Maybe.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so we got to be careful here because I don't want people to misinterpret
what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. I understand that COVID-19, that coronavirus, is something that needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah, yes, we all do. This whole family understands.
And the idea of protecting yourself and protecting others from the spread of it is an important thing.
Yes.
But then at the same time, it's like you said in the intro, who needs 300 rolls of toilet paper? I mean, you guys have gone to the grocery store. We tried to order groceries for my mom, for Grammy.
The lines were maybe 40 people at the cash register.
The lines were nuts.
You okay there?
I'm looking at the picture of the paper aisle. Literally all they have are Kleenex boxes.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, the reality
Which
is...
Which you think they'd have more of than...
There's this idea of sort of it's almost a mass hysteria, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The more people like irrationally purchase things like toilet paper, the more people panic about not being able to get toilet paper.
So they go
and get what they can, and it turns into this like groupthink mass hysteria idea. And And then of course there's the closings, which I understand what they're trying to do with that. But the reality is people are like fearful of this. I've seen people talking about, I literally had a tweet, I read a tweet today where somebody was like fearful of the election in November. What happens if Joe Biden and Donald Trump both die of coronavirus during the election cycle? What's going to happen to our country? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, first of all, that's a completely irrational viewpoint on the way that the election is going to work. It's because they've got safeguards in place for anything like that kind of thing happening. Secondly,
that's in November.
They're not going to die of COVID. I mean, the odds of that happening are so slim. They're not, I mean, they're older, yes, but they've got the best doctors in the world. They've been, all the precautions are being taken, and the odds of both of them dying is just insane.
And it's all the way in November.
It is all the way in November. It's, and so the odds are, you know, 3 weeks from now, we're all going to be like going back to our movie theaters and our cons and all these types of things. And Disneyland and Disney World will be open again in 3-4 weeks. And everything will sort of be returning back to normal. But in the meantime, people are just sort of gripped with this idea of this panic regarding it. Fear is contagious. It spreads. The more fearful you are, the more you make people around you fearful. And it just becomes like this fear virus. is the most dangerous virus when it comes to coronavirus. It's the fear.
Spreads worse.
You know, and again, some fear is healthy. You know, there's this idea of fear of, you know, burning your hand so you don't touch
a hot negative stove. Emotions are beneficial.
But when they become all-consuming, the reason you have fear of fire is so you don't touch fire.
Right. I mean, right? I'm scared of hot ovens, but I still get stuff out of the oven.
And at the same time, you don't sit in your bed at night at 3 a.m. panicking about the fact that if you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. Mm-hmm. You don't think that way. That's not, one of those is a rational fear. I'm not going to touch the stove because it's hot right now. The other is an irrational fear of laying around thinking about it constantly and letting it consume your thoughts. And this is sort of what we've been facing with this. And the other thing to remember is that most fears are irrational. You know, I've heard it said like 99% of the things that we fear or that we're worried about either A, never happen, or B, are completely out of our control. So we can't really worry about any of it.
Yeah.
You know, the fear is unnecessary with it. But again, we come back to Star Wars, and one of the most famous quotes in all of Star Wars, it's from the prequels, it's Anakin and Yoda, and Yoda looks at Anakin and says, "Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering." Okay? So fear is... Go ahead.
Can I say something? I think this is the only line that Yoda says that is actually correctly put in grammar.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually.
Good point. I didn't notice that. Anyway.
Just once in a while, you'll drop something in there that just makes everybody kind of go, huh, never thought of it that way. But I was sitting there thinking, you and I talked a little bit about this earlier today, about what types of fears are most present within the Star Wars universe. And a couple of them stand out right away. Really? We'll talk about those. But then I came up with a couple of others that I think are important. One of those being, you know, we talked about this. We actually came up with a third one together, I think, Sam. This idea of the fear of death or the fear of oppression. This idea of the Tarkin Doctrine, which is present in both the Legends continuity and in the canon continuity. It's worded a little differently, and the origin of it is different, but the Tarkin Doctrine was basically this idea of ruling the galaxy, controlling the galaxy, keeping the people in control using fear. And the ultimate example of that is the idea of building the Death Star.
Right.
This idea of this massive space station that could come in at any point and completely blow up your planet. If you cross the Empire, this could happen. So that's a big one. What were you going to say, Sam?
I mean, no one's really going to act up if there's a gun pointed at them all the time. You know what I mean? Like, so it's that kind of idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's two ways to motivate people, right? There's it's, you know, the idea is usually described as the carrot versus the stick with it. And the carrot, like, is a positive motivation to try to get them, you know, you put a carrot out in front of a donkey and you get the donkey to go after the carrot. That's how you get him to move. Mm-hmm. Or you can sit there and whip the donkey like crazy with a stick in order to get him to move. The pain is then what motivates him. So, yeah, fear is a big part of that. You know, what do you guys think about this? Fear as a tool to control. What do you think about that from not just the Star Wars universe idea, but in the world today?
I mean, there's a reason why it's used at times. It's effective. Saying it's right or always right, but it is effective. I think that's why it's used. Because as humans, we're often driven by fear, you know, like, we're going to avoid things that we're fearful of, you know, or we're going to do things that will ensure that what we're fearful of does not happen. You know, like, I'm kind of freaked out about heights and stuff. So, like, we're walking down the mall and I don't walk near the handrails because it just makes me uncomfortable. I don't touch the handrails. I don't do anything. Nathan will be a jerk and I'll be like, Sam's just freaking out. He'll lean over the side. But, like, I avoid those things because I'm fearful of it. Again, it's probably irrational, but you know what I mean? It's effective, but using it as like a way to manipulate people, I think everyone can agree that it's just wrong in a way. Like,
okay, what do you think about fear as a means of control, BD Nate?
It does work if they use it correctly. Like Sam said, not that it's right. It's not right to use fear as a weapon or a tool. Sometimes fear can be used as a tool to make people panic. Think irrationally, kind of like what's going on right now. People are so freaked out that they need to go and stock up just in case they're quarantined. And I mean, you don't have to worry about that normally.
It's an irrational fear that's causing people to behave in an irrational way.
And I think that, you know, some of that is they've been spending so much time with this virus talking about how serious it could get and how an outbreak can put so much pressure on our medical system. It could be, you know, all of these different types of things. And so they're trying to get people to take it seriously. And so they're being almost hyping the fear to some extent because people haven't been taking it seriously. You've got idiots going to clubs, you know, with 300-400 people dancing and sweating and people, you know, going out. You have idiots getting on airplanes that they know that they've got the coronavirus. You've got this absolutely absurd corona challenge that some people have been doing where they're licking toilet seats and things.
That's bad when there's not a global virus.
Yeah, so the point I'm making is, you know, there's this stupidity out there, and because there's stupidity, I feel like sometimes they have to hype the fear side in order to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, some people are starting to come to light with this thing. Some people are starting to figure out that the media is kind of hyping this up too much, making people too scared about it so that they, you know, can get everything done and make people, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that the media, I think that the media is hyping it for some extent because that's what gets people to tune in and that's what gets people to buy newspapers and that's what, you know, that kind of stuff. Fear sells with it, which is another thing we haven't really talked much about. But the idea is a corona is real. You have to take it seriously, and people haven't been. So, you know, it's almost like the answer has become yell louder in order to try to fix it. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, I remember back after 9/11, and of course, BB Nate, you weren't even born until 2005. Sam, you were just a baby when 9/11 happened. But we were like glued to our televisions in this fear of terrorist attacks in the U.S. and all of that. They used that, regardless of whether or not any of that was accurate or not. I'm not going down that path. But they used our fear of, now the terrorists have struck here in the U.S. They've attacked our financial systems. They've attacked our governmental buildings. It happened overnight and all this. We've got to protect ourselves. And so the government came in and used that tool to solidify greater control through the Patriot Act and things. The Patriot Act was basically, and it got taken way out of control. In fact, Adam Driver was in that movie on the report, is all about how it was being abused so horrendously, and things that were being done with the terrorists, and arresting people that were completely innocent and torturing them in order to get them to do this. The Patriot Act is sort of was this carte blanche to have people do whatever, the government to do whatever they needed to do to protect you. If you're going to have greater security, you have to give up something.
Right.
And you give up fear you give up freedom in order to have greater security. So they, they used our fear of terrorism to control that. The Gulf War, fear that Saddam Hussein could potentially have weapons of mass destruction, caused Americans to get their flags and let's wave them and let's go and let's take, send our troops overseas to where, did they have them or not? There's a lot of question about that. I think it's interesting in the Star Wars universe how Chancellor Palpatine uses the fear of the separatists, the fear of losing the war, all of this. You've got everything that's going on there to sort of manipulate the people within the galaxy to give him, executive powers, all of these types of things. What do you think about fear in the Star Wars universe as a means for control when it comes to that kind of stuff?
I'm trying to remember, the whole Mandalore plot or that whole episode. It was the fear of the, I guess in this case, terrorist attacks that caused the Senate to give the Republic jurisdiction there
over Mandalore.
Right. It was the fear of the attacks that they used to bring the government in, which is, art imitates life, imitates art kind of thing. I think Palpatine, what makes him such an interesting villain in Star Wars is his use of fear. I mean, that's how he does everything, I think, in the universe. He turns Anakin because of his fear of losing Padme.
Like, fear is his tool.
Right. Yes. So that's what makes him such an interesting, sinister villain.
I mean, the way that Palpatine is portrayed is amazing because Anakin knows that he's a Sith. Anakin wants to turn him into the Jedi Council. We see that.
At the end of episode 3.
And then
three,
he's think about Padme. I can teach you how to save her. And all this stuff. He uses the fear of Padme dying to totally reverse Anakin's thinking. Apparently fear is a pretty powerful weapon.
Well, and that leads us into the next point, the fear of loss. I mean, that's Anakin's story. The fear of loss of Shmi causes him to go against what Obi-Wan told him to do. Causes him, when he does experience that loss, to lash out in anger. It literally, the meme of Phantom Menace Anakin, Attack of the Clones Anakin. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Thank you, Master Luke. Okay. Phantom Menace Anakin, Attack of the Clones Anakin, Revenge of the Sith Anakin, Darth Vader, right? And it's fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. We see that happening with Shmi. But then, of course, just what you said with Padme, Darth Sidious manipulated Anakin through his fear of loss with it. Why do you think that the fear of loss is such a powerful emotion?
Well, because we as people, I think, are built to crave and desire relationships and things and things like that. So whenever, not even just people, but you lose something.
Possession, something valuable to you.
You're upset. You're sad. You feel like you've almost lost a part of yourself. Just because we're hardwired to desire things. And it's exponentially multiplied when it comes to people. Because we have a relationship and you can relate with them on a deeper level than some object. So we don't want to lose this something special with them or something. So I think that's why it could be...
BB Nate, why do you think fear of loss is such a powerful emotion?
It's just because, like you said, when you lose something, it's very
personal.
Yeah, and it hurts. It always does. We had a big scare with Buster a little bit ago, and that I was afraid we were going to lose him. That was made me fear, and I was afraid I was going to lose him. that's exactly what we're talking about right now. I wouldn't have done what Anakin did, turned to the dark side to save Buster. That's not something I would do, but it's... Sometimes you can think irrationally when you fear of loss. Yeah. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, and I think another thing is like, especially with people, you look back and you think of all the memories you had with them, or Buster in this case, and you realize that if you lose them, you won't be able to make new memories with these people or experience more things with these people.
But he'll forever be immortalized in Star Wars.
In Star Wars, true. He is Chirpus the Porg's namesake with that. What about the fear of the unknown? I mean, isn't that kind of... That ties right into what we saw with Shmi and with Padme, with Anakin, because those visions that he was having were, you know, what's up? Where's my mom? Where is she? Is she a slave? Is she... You guys good?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay.
Fear of losing. I should be going back and saving my mom. If Padme is going to die in childbirth, I have to stop this from happening. These visions, this fear of the unknown, what's going to happen? It's similar to the fear of loss, but it's also a little bit different. What do you think about the fear of the unknown within Star Wars? Or in life in general?
Well, it is a very common thing. It is probably one of the most common fears throughout Star Wars, because we talk about the unknown regions, and a lot of people don't want to go in there because they don't know what's in there. They're afraid to find something that they don't want to find. And I mean, the Chiss, they're very powerful people inside of the unknown regions, and that's what some people are scared of them. So it's a very common thing for Star Wars to be afraid of all of the unknown.
Yeah, and the fear of the unknown, I think, is interesting. I mean, it's why people are afraid of change and things like that. Like myself, I don't like change. It's scary because I don't know what's going to happen. But the fear of the unknown is interesting. It's like you were talking about the unknown regions and things, and this is kind of why I don't like going in the ocean, is I don't know what's down there. You know, there's actually a fear of open spaces, like if you're out in the middle of the ocean and you can't see anything around you, or I'll sometimes play VR and I'll be like out in the middle of space and I can't see anything for miles or whatever, there's nothing beneath me, and it's like a fear called agoraphobia, and it's pretty intense. But there's even a whole, I think, if I remember correctly, brand of like horror, in a sense, called cosmic horror, which is, it plays off of the fear of the unknown. Everything's vague and large sense, and you know, nothing specific. It's not like gore. It's like this fear of what is about to happen or everything we don't know. If I remember correctly, I think it's the famous author is H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay.
He's known for kind of creating the whole cosmic horror idea, or this playing off of the fear of the unknown. And so in Star Wars, I think I watched, I don't know if you're familiar with the YouTuber Eckhart's Ladder.
Oh, yeah. We met him at the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Yeah.
He's done a lot of interesting videos on different things in Star Wars that kind of play off of the cosmic horror thing. They're usually legends stuff, but who was the lady we talked about on the last episode? The mother.
The Mortis mother.
Basically. Yeah.
Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
She was kind of came from that whole aspect. And then there was hyperspace sickness and things like that. Some really interesting stuff. So I think Star Wars is what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. They played with it before. So I think it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the storylines that's got the most common connection with the fear of the unknown is Jedi Master Sifo Dyas with his visions in the Jedi in Dooku Jedi Lost novel or audio drama or whatever that thing is. His, you know, his visions that he kept having of these planets being destroyed and all of this fear of what could happen is what I mean when I say fear of the unknown.
Right.
What potentially could be, you know, that's why Yoda keeps coming back and saying, you know, listen, you got to be careful about visions because they can be good or bad. They can deceive a little bit, and they're unclear.
Right.
With that last one, of course, is one that we've seen a lot with the Jedi, which is the fear of failure. With that, Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you read some of the early comics of when Anakin becomes his Padawan, there's a lot of fear on Obi-Wan's perspective of training Anakin because of this chosen one thing. We see the same thing happening with Kanan Jarrus. And his fear of not being able to effectively train Ezra. Then we see Ezra not being fearful as to whether or not he actually can live up to the expectations of becoming a Jedi. Mm-hmm. That came.
Such a good show.
It is a good show. And then we've got Luke, obviously. You know, he went into, you know, post Return of the Jedi, Luke is a very confident Luke. You know, he seems to have it all figured out. He thinks he's, you know, he's become a Jedi Knight. He's defeated the Emperor. He's, you know, rescued, redeemed his own father and all this. Now I'm going to create this Jedi Academy and we're going to train the next generation of Jedi. And then it all goes very, very badly as we get to the events of The Force Awakens, The Rise of Kylo Ren comics and all of that. And then he goes into exile. Where he's like, I'm not training any more Jedi. I'm not going to do this ever again. You got Ben Solo, who's fearful that he's never going to live up to expectations of being Anakin Skywalker's grandson. And, you know, Leia and Luke's, you know, a successor in the Jedi and all of this kind of thing.
It's pretty.
And then of course, Luke forgets, you know, he refuses to train Rey. Remember what he says when Rey, like, he's done that first lesson, remember, of the three, and she goes straight for the darkness in that, which is an interesting idea now that we know who she is.
Right.
With that. And then he says, you know, flat out, I've seen this raw strength only once before, referring to Ben, we assume. It didn't scare me enough then, it does now. He's refusing to train Rey because he's fearful. Of training her. That's why he thinks it's time for the Jedi to end. We can't continue to duplicate this.
Oh, no.
What do you think about the fear of failure when it comes to the Star Wars universe or life in general?
Isn't part of what held the Jedi back was their fear of failure?
Explain.
I mean, I don't know. I was hoping you could help me with that. That's why I asked.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I don't know where I was going with that, but like...
Okay, BB Nate, what do you think about the fear of failure? No, that's okay. Fear of failure in life or in Star Wars, either one.
Well, the exact line that Obi-Wan says, I've failed you, Anakin, at the end of Revenge of the Sith. It's what happened. And fear of failure, you really don't notice it until you actually have failed. And then you're scared of what consequences it might have. This one was, he failed Anakin, and Anakin turned into Darth Vader and destroyed a bunch of planets and killed a bunch of people. So that's a pretty bad consequence. But it's very interesting how, like Sam said, the Jedi does have a lot of failure in it, and they were very afraid of the failure. They didn't allow attachments in case anything happened. They didn't allow a lot of things. Guardians of the Wills is very... It touches a lot into the Jedi Code and the Jedi Rules. I don't remember. It was like in between every chapter, but I don't remember what it was, but it does touch on that a lot.
I mean, you were saying, like, they say no attachments and things like that. Their idea of, like, combating fear was just, like, cutting out any chance that, to have fear at all. You know, like, if you don't have attachments, then you can't fear loss, you know? So it's that kind of idea. I think where I was going with it, though, is, like, the Jedi were afraid to stand up to the Chancellor and to the Republic for what they thought was right, and in turn, they lost because of it. And I think that's kind of where I was going with the fear of failure and things
like that. Well, again, I mean, that's why they have them. That's why they probably didn't want to train Anakin. Because when they train younglings from a very young age, they don't know anything but the Jedi Order, so they can't do anything else. They can't have attachments. They're code from they were born, they were taught you can't have attachments, so that's something that they don't think about. They just don't. That's why they wanted such young, and that's why they didn't want to train Anakin, because he was like 9 or 10 and that's pretty old, because he hasn't been trained in any of that. He's already had attachments with his mom, he's had feelings, he's had relationships. I mean, it's pretty, that's why they fail.
You know, it's easier to, it's sort of the idea, I guess, sort of of inertia as well. You know, the fear of failure is what could happen, what could go wrong with it. And so we feel like there's no loss, there's no danger in not taking action. So we allow the fear of failure to win when if I don't take action, I don't have I'm not going to lose anything with it. So there's nothing to fear there.
Risk.
Instead of thinking about what happens if, you know, what will I potentially gain from taking this action, and what would happen if I don't do that, you know, and that kind of thing. I think you guys understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
With it, you know, it's interesting because the antidote or the flip side of this is hope. You know, hope seems to be, you know, in the dark side, the Empire, the First Order, the Sith, fear is the primary motivation. Fear is the primary tool. Fear is the primary emotion.
Yeah. I mean, the First Order literally just captured children to turn them into stormtroopers so that way whoever was fighting the First Order was fearful that they could be shooting their own child.
Exactly.
You know, it's just fear.
Yeah, so but the flip side of that with the Republic, with the Rebellion, with the Resistance, with the Jedi and all of that, when they're functioning at the level that they're supposed to be, is hope. Right, and we kind of see that. You're my only hope. Bring hope to a new hope.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all about hope, and this is going to be very central in the High Republic.
Explain.
It's all about what does the Jedi fear.
No, that's a good
so
point.
It's going to be very. We're going to see what the hopeful side of the. They're more hopeful than ever in this one. They don't have the Sith to worry about. They don't really have many wars going on.
But something is going to create fear.
Yes. So there's something in there that's going to make them scared, make them fear something.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Well, I think, you know, kind of like to tie it all up, you know, we talk about the greater story that we like to reference on the show. It's really interesting. When you really get down to it, fear and love can't exist in the same moment. When you fully embrace love and you feel love and you're experiencing and expressing love, fear is not there anymore. But sometimes, you know, they work hand in hand. I can't help but think about stories of mothers who have lifted cars off of their, you know, supernatural strength, lifting up vehicles in order to save their children that were pinned underneath them. That's a supernatural feat that's driven from love and sort of fear with it. But then, you know, in the end, the love has to be the greater purpose with that. And so, you know, I only close it with that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to live with anxiety. He doesn't want us to live with all of these things. He wants to give us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's his goal for us.
I mean, he still created us to experience the emotions of fear and of anger and things like that, but in moderation.
Absolutely. So. All right. Cool. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. So Max von Sydow, Lors Antecca, from episode 7.
Yeah.
I'm blanking.
Force Awakens.
Lors Antecca. Dies at 90. He died. That's a ripe old age, though.
It is a ripe old age.
He accomplished and he got to be in Star Wars, too, which I think
is cool. A lot of things. He was in a very lot of things.
Wasn't he in The Exorcist or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was the priest.
The priest, really? Yeah. Oh. So Star Wars actor John Boyega has set a Netflix deal.
He's going to be doing non-English-speaking films, like African-language films and things like that.
Very cool.
And he's doing his own movies. He's starting his own film studio, so that's going to be fun. Definitely.
Well, that's what he's going
to
be doing.
And it's supposed to be like a Christian one, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Ben Solo's lightsaber moment. You know which one I'm talking about?
Really grabs it. Yeah, that was for
that has secret meaning. Do you know what that secret meaning comes
from? It's not Ren.
No, it comes from The Rise of Skywalker, the Rise of Kylo Ren comic books, when he was like takes on his new identity as Kylo Ren and he has this new costume to fit into that. He actually straps his lightsaber onto his back.
Really?
And so when he takes it off, he's constantly doing that.
That's why the Knights of Ren were like, what?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, this week's podcast poll of the week. We did one that we feel comfortable getting up without being spoilery on it or anything like that. So, which fear do you feel is most pervasive in Star Wars? Fear of death, fear of loss, fear of failure, or other? Comment below. What would you say, BB Nate?
It's going to be an interesting one. Fear of loss is definitely a main part in most
of the series.
You're
going to
say fear of loss? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go like the idea of the fear of death or the Tarkin doctrine element. I'm going to go with that one. The whole Death Star exists as a result of like fostering that fear. with it. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we do appreciate it. We thank you guys for listening every single week. We do this because we love it, but we also do it because you guys do. So thank you guys for being a part of it. Please subscribe if you're listening to this on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, any of the podcast services that you're finding us on. If you just subscribe to it, it makes it a lot easier. It'll go right into your feed every week when we put it down. And it just helps us make sure that you're getting this content every time. Follow us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter especially, and potentially some new things coming up on those areas soon. And then the last one is the reviews. Give us some new reviews. Yeah. Let us know how much you guys like the show. Tell us what you like about it. Tell us what parts of the show you appreciate the most, so we make sure that we do those types of things.
And tell us what we should improve.
If you feel like that we should improve on things, which we all have needs, areas we can improve, then that would be awesome.
Please be positive.
But keep it positive. No bad words. All right.
No bad words.
Anything you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep. Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.